Good evening. Oh, it's good to be in a full house. I like this, and I like this building project going up here. That's exciting. And I'm going to try to say this. Is it Weisbach or Weisbach? Weisbach. It is good to be at Weisbach Community Church tonight and be able to share about our ministry in Lesotho. We didn't know that we were going to be sharing this week. It was a surprise to my kids. And I had reached out to your pastor. And to be honest with you, we have not been with Keith and Crystal for just our families for over 5.5 years to where we could go to their house and just let the kids play and have fun and stay up late and that kind of stuff. And so we had a missions convention last week in the Carolinas. We looked at the calendar and said, we're 1 week away from IHC. What if we went to Keith and Crystal's house? And knowing that we were going to be up here, I thought, well, we'll reach out to your pastor and see if something would work out. And it wasn't going to work out. And I told Misty, you know what? We're here for Keith and Crystal and to enjoy that fellowship with them. We're just going to not try to plan something and go to church with them twice on Sunday. And then Wednesday night happened, and your pastor was not wanting to preach tonight, I guess. No, not really. He reached out and said, hey, are you still open? And I said, yes, we are. And I'll be honest with you. My heart beats with what your pastor said earlier. We prayed when we came in. I look at mission services exactly like he does. There may be someone here tonight that God will call to the mission field. And I believe that with all of my heart. And from the very beginning when we began to get involved in missions, I told our kids and my wife, we talked about it, we'll go through the doors that God opens for us. And I believe tonight is an open door. And so you pray for us as we share what God has put on our heart about our ministry. And I definitely need God's help, and so we're going to invite the presence of the Lord over the next few minutes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. Lord, we realize that we cannot do this in our own strength. We need your help. Lord, I ask that you would guide and direct in this service. Would you help us as we share what you're doing in Africa? But Lord, just as we've mentioned, Lord, maybe there's someone here that'll hear the still small voice of God calling them to the mission field. Lord, I think of Keith and Crystal and the impact that they had on our lives in making that decision and the little small part that they played. And Lord, I ask that you would guide and direct in this service. Would you help the kids as they sing? Would you help Misty as she shares? And would you guide and direct in this service? And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do not have time to share all of our story, so I'll just give you a brief summary. It was 40 years old before I went to the mission field, so if you're in your late 20s or in your 40s or maybe even 50s, I think there's some HIM missionaries that God just called them to the mission field. I had a drywall contractor's business. I did a lot of drywall repairs. I specialized in that. My wife worked at the hospital as an RN for over 20 years. She had the best job she ever had. And God began to work on our hearts. And it's an incredible story of how God got us to Africa. And but I want to pick off where we left off and start from 3 years ago. It was 2018. We moved to Lesotho, and God has done an incredible work there. We are working with the Galt family, Angela Thornton. Some of you may know her there at Matu King. And we're very excited about the ministry that God has called us to. We're primarily involved in two ministries, which is orphan and vulnerable children's ministry, and then also project development. And I'm going to quickly share a scripture verse when we began to think of our deputation services and we reviewed the last 3 years of being in Africa. My mind kept coming back to this verse. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And if I look back at how God has guided and directed us over the last few years, this verse comes to mind, and we're grateful for God's mercy and his faithfulness in the ministry that we're involved in. Just in case you've kind of wondering where in the world is Lesotho, most people have no idea there is even a country that exists. Part of that is because of the size of the country. It is the size of Maryland. There's only 2.3 million people that live there, and if you look at the continent of Africa, it sits at the very bottom. It is surrounded by South Africa, and there are only a couple other countries in the world. The Vatican is one of them, that is surrounded by another country. It is landlocked, and so we are completely surrounded by South Africa. It is a mountainous region. When you think of Africa, you normally don't think of mountains. And I will tell you the truth. The coldest place I've ever been on earth is in Africa, in Lesotho. It does get down in the mid-20s there in the wintertime, up in the 80s in the summertime. And then we have a kind of a high, dry climate. I tell people, if you've been to New Mexico, Arizona, or southern Colorado, then you have an understanding of Lesotho. It's mostly mountainous, about 90% mountainous. Now, we live in a valley on the edge of the mountains, and the elevation there is around 5,000 feet. And so it is a beautiful country, beautiful people. They're called Basotho. This is a typical wardrobe that you'll see. They wear what they call the Basotho blanket, and then this is a typical hat. And it is a beautiful place to live. Their main staple food there in the country is what we call papa. And it is a field corn, what we would call here, and it is ground up into kind of like grits. If you like grits, you would probably like papa. And now the way I like my grits is butter, a lot of butter, and a lot of sugar. Some are saying yes. But if you like grits, you'd probably like papa. Now, the way they eat it is a little different. They cook it until there's not much moisture left, and you literally pick it up with your hands. And then they also like a lot of greens, and they call that mroho. And we had come back to the States, had been back several months. We were in Ohio, and there was an international food market. Jungle Gyms, I think, is what it's called. And the kids said, I think we have found papa. We had looked. We couldn't find it anywhere. And they had actually found a small bag in an Asian market or section of the store there. We bought it. We went back to Oklahoma. We were fixing our African dish that we hadn't had since we left there. And I looked up, and all of my kids were eating it like they would in Lesotho. And that's when I realized that they've adjusted to the culture. Now, we don't eat like this every day, but they were literally eating it with their fingers. They had taken the greens, dipped it, and grabbed the papa, and were eating it with their fingers, and that's exactly how they would eat it there in Lesotho. And so this is their main staple dish that they have. Subsistence farming is their primary way of making a living. That's a fancy word that means you eat what you can grow. But they mainly do the corn maize. Up higher in the mountains, they'll do cabbage and things like that. And then the greens. And then they do have goats and sheep and cattle. Now, their cattle aren't, they're usually fairly skinny, especially in the dry season. And when you go through the village, it's not uncommon that there's a traffic jam. And that's because the cattle or the goats or the sheep are all in front of you. And you just kind of have to go slowly behind them until they get out of your way. I like to share this statistics. It is a third world country. And These numbers are hard for us to imagine, but it is reality. There in Lesotho, they have garment factories. There's about 50 factories that have gone in there. They're usually run by Chinese businessmen, but they do make garments that we're used to wearing here in the States. So if you ever have bought Levi or Gap, some of those brands, some of them are being made in Lesotho and then exported back here to the U.S. We had some missionary friends that were here in the States on furlough. I've tried to find clothes that fit me over there, and they're just built differently. They're usually lots. Skinny jeans work great. Well, I don't look good in skinny jeans. And so I had tried to buy a few garments, and I was like, this ain't working. I'm just going to have to stick with our clothes in the U.S. So we usually try to take our wardrobe when we go over there. And I had lost some weight. I was in need of some new shirts. And so I asked our missionary friends. They were getting ready to come back. I said, if I order some clothes on Amazon and drop ship it, just a couple, would you be able to fit it in your suitcase? They said, sure, no problem. So they literally, that went to Texas. They brought it across on the plane and brought the Amazon bag, and I was so excited, I opened it up. We've gotten used to looking at the label now. Where is it made? And sure enough, it had been made in Lesotho. And I don't know where the missionary bin is. I'd like to find it. But they do make a lot of garments there in the country. But if you work there, you can make between $125 to $150 U.S. That's per month. Not a week or a day, but per month. At this time, my wife is going to come up and share a little about the orphan and vulnerable children's ministry that we're involved in. After that, our kids will come and sing to you in Sesotho, and then I'll share a little bit at the end. Is there anyone that did not get a book when they came in or came in late? If you'll raise your hand, Courtney Wright, just keep your hand up, and they'll hand out a couple brochures for you.
Good evening. It is good to be here. Just before you ask, I am Crystal's sister. Yes, I'm older. Yes, I used to be blonde, and now my hair is dark, and now it's going gray. She kept the blonde. I didn't. But all my kids have it, so there you go. But we have had a really fun week being here, and it's been good that our kids have really enjoyed being together as well. So we are involved in community-based orphan care. We help the orphans and vulnerable children stay in their own communities. So what does that look like? Most of these kids live with a grandparent or another relative. We want to help keep these families together. We talked with a young lady who is actually a double orphan, but she now works for another Christian ministry. 5 years ago, the first time we went to Lesotho, and she said, if our kids go to an orphanage, they lose their identity. They no longer have a village that they're from. They no longer have a community. They no longer have a family. They no longer have inheritance rights that they would normally get in their country. So then when you turn 18, you have nothing. So with community-based orphan care, these kids stay in their own village. And they grew up in that village, so whatever family rights they would have for property and that kind of thing, they hopefully can still get that if they have a just chief in their village. So we are currently working with 40 children and young people. We've had 50 different ones in the past 3 years. These are from 10 different villages, 5 different one of our churches there. And this picture was a year ago at our conference we had in April with our older kids that came. So our goal is, like I said, to keep them in their village, in their community, but how can we help? What do they need help with? Some of them need help in different ways than others. When we first went to Lesotho, one of the things we did was we talked to the local church and we formed a OVC. OVC stands for Orphan and Vulnerable Children's. But we formed a committee from local church people. These are the people that truly we could not do what we do without them. This committee has done a phenomenal job. We wanted them The local church is there to fill the responsibility for this ministry. It's not just something that we as missionaries are coming to do, but it's truly through the local church. So we wanted this to be a church ministry, not an American missionary ministry. So this is our committee. They go out and they do quarterly assessments to each one of our kids. They're the ones that do a lot of that things. If we have backpacks or books or that kind of thing, a lot of times we send them out with the pastor, and they're the ones giving them to the children. We're not the ones doing that. So this committee is phenomenal. They've done a great job. While we've been back in the U.S., we've even done Zoom calls for meetings and stuff, and we're very happy with the way they've been able to keep things running while we've been gone and we've been here. Our pastor, Natati Kari, he was actually here at Hope Sound Camp this year, but he has a real desire for, a heavy burden for these young people's hearts. We can pay school fees all day long, we can help them get an education, we can help them get food if they need to, but if we don't help them to know Jesus, then we're not doing our job. So one thing that we have done is had a conference just for them, where we've had time of special counseling, just time to get to know them and understand them and their burdens, and it's been really good. One thing we have done with that is each one of the kids get their own Bible. And the first year, I didn't really think that was, like, a big thing. But he took some of them on the other side of the mountain home after that conference, and these two little girls said, they're teenagers. We've never had our own Bible before. And I'm going to read this every day. And I have a copy of it back there on the table of one of the Bibles that we give them in Sesotho, which is their language. And so it's been a real eye-opener just to see that. This is one of our pastors and his wife, Natati Tice and Mema Felipe. They took on the responsibility a year ago of developing a discipleship program for our ministry, which actually has expanded to not just the young people in our ministry, but even more young people in our churches. So it's been really exciting to see how God is working in that. That has actually spread more throughout the churches. Like, they're doing discipleship classes for our orphans and vulnerable children, but it's helping the other young people in the church, and then it's helping the adults in the church. And so there have been reports of, like, revival and stuff going on while we've been here in America just through our orphan ministry over there. So that's been really exciting to us to see how God is working and helping in this ministry. This young lady is Sister Itumi Ling. She is priceless to me. She started a year and a half ago as our administrative assistant. She's been involved in our orphan ministry since we first went to Lesotho, but she is super organized. She texts the kids. She's actually the one that kids will contact if they their first point of contact. And so she tells me who needs books and who needs uniforms and what school bills we need paid and all that kind of stuff. And so she's done a phenomenal job with keeping all that together while we've been gone. She texts me several times frequently while we're here. And so it's been really neat to see how they have been able to continue even while we've been out of Lesotho back here in the U.S. In January of last year, we launched a sponsorship program. We quickly realized that in a country with 300,000 orphans, and I looked it up the other day just to compare it, we have about 4,000 and some kids in the foster care in the entire United States. We have 300,000 orphans in Lesotho, which is the size of the state of Maryland. So that just puts a little perspective there. And we are working with just the children in our churches. So each one of our kids that we are sponsoring aren't just some random kids off the street. They are kids from our churches. So if you got one of these, we just printed these this year. But last year we realized that in order to help more kids, we would need to launch a sponsorship. We need a sponsorship program. So we started that in January of, like I said, January of last year. So for $60 a month, or for a full sponsorship, or $30 for half a sponsorship, then someone here in the U.S. can sponsor one of our kids in Lesotho. And to me, it's been really exciting to see how God has put people together. I had one lady that did a yard sale and sponsored two kids to go to school for a year. We've had children's ministries, we've had churches, we've had Sunday school groups, we've had kids, children that have been adopted themselves that wanted to sponsor a child in Lesotho. So it's been really neat to see how God has worked that out, even here in the U.S. And I had a text from a lady just a couple weeks ago, and she said, "Thank you for this opportunity. Like, you've blessed me." I'm like, well, you blessed me by giving us money, by helping them. But she was like, thank you for this opportunity. It's such a blessing. I would sponsor 100 of them if I could. But it covers two main areas. We cover education. They have education is free until in the country until seventh grade. Most of our kids, if they're orphans, they don't have a way of paying for education for high school, which starts eighth grade and up. Most of the time, they're living with a grandparent or relative, they're supporting multiple people, multiple family members, and this orphan child's education, if you're only making $150 a month and you're feeding a lot of people, that doesn't usually go for somebody else's child's education. So that's a big way that we are helping with that. And then also our discipleship program, which has been a huge blessing in our churches already. But each one of our kids, like I said, does come to the local church. They are recommended by the local pastor and the chief of their village. And then our committee also reviews those. Our committee members go out and visit each home. So we try to screen those very carefully. And we pay all the money, like go and pay the school fees ourselves. We don't just give them money and that kind of stuff. So anyhow, that's kind of that in a nutshell. I do have 6 kids left to sponsor for this year. So if you are interested in sponsoring any of them, their pictures are in here, and you can talk to me afterwards. And if you're interested in more information about that. Another ministry that I'm involved in is we do have a health clinic there in Lesotho. We serve about 35 villages surrounding us, and that includes about 1,000 HIV-positive patients each month. And when we first moved to Matuking 2 years ago, we were literally moved in the village the weekend the world shut down for COVID. And many people were scared. Many clinics in the country were actually closing their doors. Our head nurse is a Christian, and she was like, no, we're not closing. And so I went to her. I said, if there's anything I can do, I'll be happy to help. She's like, well, we just got this computer system we're supposed to be using, and I don't know anything about that. It's like, anyhow. And then she quickly put me to work in the under-5 clinic. So on Mondays, we usually see about 75 kids. This would be more like the well child visits, newborn, 6 weeks. And then I am also on call for delivery. So this was my first baby born there in Lesotho about 2 years ago. That I helped with his delivery. We do have a lot of darkness. 2 of our closest neighbors are witch doctors. And our clinic has a lot of people that come for their physical needs. They open every morning with prayer and devotional. And so they're really a lighthouse to people that may not come to church, but they do hear the gospel of Jesus. So pray for them. They deal with a lot of things there. And I do believe that God can use it as a tool for his kingdom. Okay. So at home, I homeschool our children. And Kaylee and Carissa have now graduated, and they're attending Hope Sound Bible College. They just started in January. So they'll be going back with us in June for a month. And then they'll be coming back to start their sophomore year of college. And it'll be mom and the other 4 that'll be homeschooling. So they're going to come sing for us now and introduce themselves. I'm very grateful for the part that God's allowed me to have in the work in Lesotho. It's been challenging at times, but God has helped us, and it is rewarding to see the difference that God's doing in the lives of those we work with.
Good evening. My name is Kaylee. I'm 18, and as Mom said, I have graduated from high school, and I am in my freshman year at Hope Sound Bible College. Carissa is 17, and also a freshman at Hope Sound. Catherine is 15 and in ninth grade. Kara is 13 and in eighth grade. And these are the twins, Clayton and Courtney. They are 11 and in fifth grade this year. And we are going to sing How Great Thou Art in Sesotho.
Jesus Christ, kisi buko sarona, ribat lotseng leho salefum, sifa panong rifum aneho klola, kamo shredi anilo polotseng, moya waka.
Thank you, kids, and one adult. Got to get used to that now. I have an 18-year-old, and you pray for us. We hit the ground running. We actually came back in May of last year, and within 2 weeks, we had Kaylee and Carissa get their driving permits, and we've been teaching them how to drive. Kaylee now has her license. Carissa still is working on hers. And then since then, Catherine has her permit. And we have tried to cram a lot into a year of furlough to do deputation, get a couple of them transitioned into college, and then try to pack and return back to Lesotho. And so we've had a full year. But we're excited. The girls are actually on spring break, and they didn't want to join choir this year. They said maybe next year, but we want to travel with you all and be with you during spring break, and so they're with us this week. And now you can see the heights and the stair-stepping that matches the Shapers. They all have a buddy, and they really have a lot of fun together with their cousins. Our kids have been involved in our ministry from the very beginning, and that blesses Mom and Dad's heart. And before we went to the mission field, I'll be honest with you, it was a difficult road that I had to travel there for a little while, thinking of taking my family of eight to Africa at 40 years old. In fact, the devil jumped on my shoulder as we were flying across the ocean and said, "What in the world are you doing? You have no idea." But I'm here to tell you, wherever God calls you, he provides and he gives you the grace to do what you're going to do. And I have no regrets. And every one of our kids have enjoyed being there on the mission field in Lesotho. Kaylee taught Sunday school there at Matu King. And they all helped out in different ways. They were a part of the youth ministry. They learned how to cook the Basotho food. And anytime we were to have a conference, Our older girls would be in the little house. Those round houses, they call them rondavels, which means nothing more than round house. And they have one right behind Glenn and Stephanie's house. It's very small, but that's the kitchen. And they'll go in there and have some big pots, and they cook the chicken and the papa, and they've enjoyed being involved in that type of ministry as well. And then they've all been involved in the project work. And I'll share a little bit more of that in a minute. I would like to share a little bit of a story about the OVC ministry before I transition a little bit. We have a lot of needs in Lesotho, and trying to know which needs that we need to work on and what we can do, we pray about it, and we ask God to provide the funds for it. About 6 months before we left, these two boys that are in our book, we sponsor them. Seritso and Seritsung is their names. They live with their mother there, and that's their little house that they used to live in. And in one of our visits, they had told the committee that, is there some way that we could help them fix their leaking roof? And you can see the water would pour down that metal roof and onto the back wall. And if you look at that door, when it's 20 degrees, and I looked at this, I went into their house and I looked at this, and I first thing I thought of, there's no way they can stay warm in the wintertime. And so I said, we'll take it back to the committee and we'll pray about it. We had a meeting, and I said, you know, these boys always come to church early on Sunday. They're always willing to help, and I think this is a worthy need of helping. At that point in time, we didn't have a lot of funds in the OVC fund, but I stepped out in faith, and I said, you know what, I believe God will provide the need for helping them on their house. A week later, I received a message online that a donation had been made, and this couple had felt impressed to give a certain amount of money. And it was $2,300, and it could be used however we felt needed at the moment. And I looked at Missy and I said, this is where the money is to be spent. And so we approved for them to work on their house, to put a new roof on it, to put a couple new windows in. We told them we would put a new door in. This work all happened right after we got back here, and the Tatikati was sending me photos, and he said, we have 6 bags of cement left over, and it would really be nice if we could pour a floor in their little house for them. And so I said, sure, not a problem. Let's pour a new floor in their house. And so this is what it looks like. They were so excited that this work could be done. But what I'm really excited about is a little bit later, Natatikari sent me back another message. This isn't the photo that he had sent back. But their little pig had piglets. And they'd call Natatikari, which is the pastor, to the home. And they say, we want to say thank you for helping us in our need. And so we're going to give a little piglet back to the church for you to use at conference time. And I cried when that message came through, and I realized that is the gospel. Full circle. That is what being the hands and feet of Jesus are. Pray for us. The needs are great. We work in a country where there's high poverty. Usually once a week when I go to town, someone will say Natate, which means father. Can you give me a job? And they know because of my skin color, I have the means. There are business people there that you know, have businesses, and they just assume that I'm one of those business people. And so pray for the people there. Pray for our OVC ministry, that God will help us as we're trying to help them out. I want to quickly transition into another development of ministry that we're in. I never felt called to preach. I grew up in a preacher's home, spent 11 years on the mission field, but I got involved in business right out of high school and was doing that all the way up until God called us to Africa. And so HIM asked us if we would be willing to help in some kind of project development there in Lesotho to help the mission to become more self-sustainable. And I said, sure. I had no idea what that would look like. My mind began to think of raising goats and chickens and rabbits and things like that, and I wasn't very good at farming. We have one person in our house that is a green thumb, that is Catherine. Other than that, everything I grow dies, and so I didn't know what that would look like, but God knew. In fact, He knew where we were going. We weren't necessarily called to Lesotho. We were called to work with orphans and vulnerable children. And we said, you know what, God, we'll go through the open door. And so that's what happened. We began to walk that open door, and Lesotho opened up. But God knew where we were going and what the needs would be. One of the things that we struggled there was with housing. And when Glenn Galt had taken us around to help us find a place to rent, it was hard finding a place that was secure and adequate. We'd also talked to MAF, Missionary Aviation Fellowship, works in the country. They have about 6 or 7 missionary pilot families that live there. They rent homes, and they always struggle. And they told me the last place we looked for a missionary to find a place to rent, it took us 12 houses before we found an adequate home for them to rent that was secure. And Maseru, the capital city, has around 300,000 people that live there. And the village of Matu King is right on the outskirts. When the Galts first moved there, it would take 45 minutes just to get to town on a dirt road. Now it takes 10 minutes on a paved highway. And so the city has expanded all the way out to the village and where we're at. And so if you look at this picture right here, right where the arrow, the little yellow arrow is, the city basically has come up right up into the river. If you cross that river, we're about a mile from that river. And so we started to think about what's the possibility of a rental community that we could actually build a few rental units. What sparked that idea is he had taken us by a small community of about 7 or 8 rentals that an orphanage, I think there's only 2 orphanages in the country, but they take in abandoned babies and then they try to adopt them out by the time they get to the age of 5. In fact, the Galt's little boy, Caleb, it came from that orphanage. They had built this small rental community and then rented them out. And then a percentage of those profits go right back into the orphan work. And so that day a seed was planted. I said, what's the possibility of us doing something like this close to Matu King, where our ministry is? And so we looked at the opportunity. There are business people that come in from South Africa. We're 5 miles from the border. They literally cross the border every day, and then they go back into South Africa. They're looking for places to rent. There are, as I mentioned, Chinese business people. There are Pakistani and Indian people that are there. The U.S. Embassy from time to time will send out an email that says they're looking for houses to rent, and that's through the Peace Corps. And so we thought maybe this would work for us. If you look at this next picture, this is part of the houses that have just gone up on the other side of that river. These are small 2-bedroom homes, and they're all built and sold now, and so the city is expanding. And so in 2019, we put together a proposal for project development where we would plant, build 2 rental homes and then a church tabernacle. And so if you look at the dotted yellow line, we were able to purchase 4 acres right below the clinic. And that is the clinic right on the top side of that. And we purchased that for $10,000. And this was the project of phase one that was started in 2019. This was the day that we dedicated the property for that project. And we had a lot of work to do. We had to bring in over 300 tons of rock. All of that was brought in on a dump truck and then spread by hand. And that is back-breaking work. If any of you younger boys want to come do some hard labor, and use a pick. It takes a lot of work, and I got involved with it, but we had to put a road in there to the property. But we're so grateful that we were able to do that. Before we returned, we were able to get the first rental home finished, and this is that house. I have another picture here of that house complete. I did some things that I never even did here in the U.S. As a missionary, you kind of get to do it all. And for those of you that have been on the field, you know what I'm talking about. I was hoping to have kitchen cabinets that were brought in from South Africa. What you can get there in Lesotho is mostly particle board. And as building a small rental house, I thought, you know what? I want something that will last, not that we're going to replace in 5 years. Well, lockdown happened, and we couldn't cross the border, and I couldn't get the right materials. And so about 3 months before we came back, I had asked the kids. I said, who's willing to help Daddy learn how to make kitchen cabinets? And so Carissa said, I'll help you. And so we watched a few videos on cabinet making, or I did, and said, okay, I think this is what we should do. And we had a chop saw, we had a table, and everything. And so we started into the project. And about 2 weeks later, I came into the house, and it was one of those moments I had probably made the cut wrong. You know, it's just how it happens. And I blurted out and I said, I would just about exchange one of my kids right now for a Home Depot. I didn't mean it. They know I don't mean it. But I was looking for the easy button. It was kind of funny. We were back and some friends of ours said, let's go out to eat. They wanted to take us out to eat. Well, there was a Menards across the street and we were waiting. They had a long line. We couldn't get in there. And so I said, let's go into Menards. And Carissa said, no. She didn't go in Menards, but I did, and some of the others did. And it's wonderful. But God helped us. We were able to get this first rental house complete, and we are renting it. Now, I told the mission. I said, if I ever move out of the city, we had no plans of going to Lesotho and building a house and then renting it. That wasn't even in my mind. But that was one of those things that God took my experience in the construction field. And he placed us in a place where he could use that. And I told the mission, I said, if we ever live in one of these homes that we're going to build, I said, we're going to rent it. Because we want to make sure that they realize this isn't missionary housing. This is a rental community. And so we do. We do pay $450 a month rent on this home. It is around 1,700 square feet. This house will rent for around between $600 and $800 U.S. dollars easily. And those that are in business can afford that there. The place we were renting in town was about $600. And after a year we were there, my landlord came to me and he said, I'm going to almost, he didn't tell me it this way, but when I ran the numbers, it was almost double. Going to be almost $1,200. And so I said, no, that's not going to work. And so we moved this project up on the rental property. And so I'm very excited because now that we're paying rent on a house, we have the first rental home done. The church vehicles, they were able to go to the gas station this week and put petrol, is what they call it, in their vehicles and go up into the mountains and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the first time that the mission has been able to have some inside money within the country that is helping to support the work. And that has been exciting. Because as you know, many times when missionaries go into a third world country setting, a lot of the ministry is built off of the back of the missionary's support. And so we're excited that this will be able to provide for the church long term. And we look at it as building the foundation stone. We're starting now, and hopefully 50 years from now, that will have developed and the church will be able to grow greatly. Then in October of 2020, we were able to start on the church tabernacle. Before we started on the tabernacle, we would put these two tents together. And when it would rain and we would have services, we had created a trough. Well, you put two tents together, what that's what you get. And so we would move chairs and benches and people would try to get out of the rain. And so when we told them we were trying to raise money for a church tabernacle, they were very, very excited. And the first Sunday we were in the tabernacle building, we weren't able to be there because I had gotten COVID. And here's the construction of that going up. That is what it looks like right now. And Lord willing, when we return, we plan on finishing this project. I'm saying we're about 50% done. We're going to put a block structure on the front of it, which will be an entrance. There'll be a conference room, some classrooms on the front end. Below the metal, there'll be a block wainscot. We'll pour a concrete slab inside, and then we'll cut out for windows, and so there'll be windows put into that building as well. And so we're very excited about this project getting completed. This is holding service in there. When COVID happened, the country said you can have 50%, and then sometimes it was 30% capacity and social distance and all that. And so our churches are very small. I mean, you can take about the size, well, I'm thinking right now, one of our churches at Hamateo is about the size of this platform, and we can put about 75 people in there. And so how do you social distance like that? I mean, you just have small benches and you just cram together. And so I thought, you know what? We have this brand new tabernacle, this massive metal tent is what it is. And I said, we can social distance because this building will hold of about 300, 350 people is what we have figured. And so we combined a couple churches and we still had church and we're outdoors. And so it became a blessing even during COVID. And so we're excited to be able to get this building finished when we go back. This is what the property looked like at the beginning. And I like to show this because when you get a little rain, we do get a little bit of grass. And there you can see the first rental house, and then the church tabernacle is up there on the top right. Our plan is to build several more rental homes on the left side of the property, and that'll be our rental side of things. And then the tabernacle will probably build some more church buildings. They'll probably put a kitchen down there, maybe some dormitories that they can use for conferences and things like that. That would happen in phase two down the road. So if we look at phase one, we're very excited of what has been completed. The first rental home, the church tabernacle, is started. And then, Lord willing, we would like to finish the second rental home when we go back this year. Get it started in this next term. Fence the property and do some erosion control. For those of you that have goats, you'll laugh about this. We have a little village boy. The reason why we want to fence the property, right now we have just a barbed wire fence around it. That's to keep the cows out. And they just graze everywhere. And the king, I don't know how all this works in their culture, but the king owns all of the land. That means you'll see cattle right in town just grazing by the sidewalk, and whatever snubby grass they can eat, they will take. So if you put a fence around your property, then you can keep the animals from grazing in it. And they overgraze there. We're trying to teach them land management, and we've had some people come in that talk about farming God's way and do some classes on land management, but it's just a long, slow process. Well, Tabo, little village boy, he lives right behind us, sometimes takes care of his grandmother's goats. And he had seen that the rains had come and the grass was growing really good. And he came down, he said, "Tate Wes, please, can I bring the goats in to feed on the grass?" I said, "Tabo," I said, "no." I said, "If you bring the goats in, they'll eat it all the way down to nothing. And we're trying to get it to grow." He said, "No, Tate Wes, they won't." I said, "Tabo, I used to live in America. I had two goats." And I said, "Those two goats ate everything." And Tabo says, "No, Tate Wes, the goats in America, they're different than Lesotho." We've laughed about that. And that's exactly how he said it. They're different. So we would like to put a better fence for security, and then also plant some more trees below the property for some erosion control that we definitely need to work on there in phase one of the project. I'm very excited when I show you this number, so don't look overwhelmed, because $185,000 several years ago was a lot of money to start raising from Africa. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I knew a few people that could write some large checks. And so I began to pray, "God, you know, maybe this person and that person could give a little bit. And this is a lot of money to raise from Africa, Lord. And we're not on deputation. We're not back in the States. But we began to pray, and God's people began to respond. And it was $200 here, and $300 here, and $200 here, and $50 every month, and $50 every month. And we're at 66% of our goal. We only have $62,000 left to finish phase one of the project. And I'm so excited at how God has worked and helped us to be able to raise the money so that the mission there in Lesotho can have a couple rental homes in this first phase, a new church tabernacle. They're very excited about getting that complete. And so we're so grateful that God has allowed us to be a part of that project. I show this picture because this is where we are headed very quickly. We've been back here since May. We have completed most of our... We really have one more week of services, which is the Pennview Missions Convention. You pray for us in April as we go to Pennview. We've got to speak four times that week. Pray that God will help us and help us to share how God can use young people, even today, on the mission field. And our plan is to return. We have tickets right now for June the 8th. Fly back to Lesotho. If you take a direct flight, it is about a 15-hour flight out of Newark, or you can fly out of Atlanta. If you go the long route, it'll take you through London or Paris or Germany, Dubai. That ends up being about a 30-hour flight. Two legs with a layover. And then you'll drive 6 hours up to Lesotho, up to the mountains where we're at from Johannesburg. And so pray for us as we begin to prepare to go back to Lesotho. You might be asking right now, how can we help? And I want to quickly tell you the most important thing you can do is pray. And let me just quickly share why. After we got back from Lesotho, we started traveling. I had heard bits and pieces of this story, and I don't have time to tell you the whole story. But we were broken into in 2019. I was not there. My wife was there with the six kids. I was 6 hours away in Johannesburg. And after we got back from the U.S., my parents had sent me an audio recording of a lady, a dear saint of God, in the Caribbean. God had woken her up at 2 o'clock in the morning and said, pray for a missionary family in Lesotho, or in Africa. She did not know who she was praying for that night until 2 weeks later. She actually called her pastor at 2 o'clock in the morning, woke him up, and said, we need to pray for somebody. It was our family. 2 weeks later, the pastor's wife was looking on Facebook. She said, the night that you called, the Lord had said, pray for someone in Africa. This is who you were praying for. There's sometimes, Keith and Crystal know this firsthand, there's no amount of money will make a difference. But your prayers make a huge difference. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was glad I was here for Wednesday night. I sat back there, humbled. As you all went through the newsletters, and then after going through those newsletters, you prayed. That means more to us than anything. As Misty mentioned, we have some of our closest neighbors are witch doctors, and we live in a dark country. There's a lot of witchcraft. There's still a lot of ancestor worship in Lesotho. And so we need your prayer. If you're interested in supporting us, obviously, or if you're interested in being on our newsletter, if you'll just fill out that card, give it to us tonight, we'll be happy to send you our newsletter, either email or in print. It doesn't matter either way. Just give that to us. The building project and the orphan ministry Misty had mentioned, if you are touched and you would like to support an orphan or one of the vulnerable children that we're working with, you can talk to her, talk to me. We have six of those that we're looking for sponsors for. And thank you so much for allowing us to come and share how God is working in Africa. Pray for us. Pray for us as we go back to Lesotho. We are excited about going back. I am a little nervous about going through this empty nest syndrome with a couple kids. So maybe you older ones that know what that's like, you can pray for us as we leave Kaylee and Carissa back here in college, there at Hope Sound Bible College. God is helping them. God's helped them since we've been back to adjust to things. And so you pray for us as we return to Lesotho. And pray for our younger children. They're excited to go back. They're missing their friends. And we just thank you for the opportunity to share in your service tonight. And thank you for everything. I'll turn it back to your pastor.